नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर हा श्रीवासादि श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। स्वामवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, the Gramya delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, that's number 44 this morning. Sakam Vihayasa Vipra Mahapurusha Inkarai Haimam Vima Vimanam Arukhya Yayau Yatra Shriya Patihi Sakam vihaya sa vipro Mahapurusha kinkarai Haimam vimanam arukhya Yau yatra sriyapatihi Sakam vihaya sa vipro Mahapurusha kinkarai Haimam vimanam arukhya Yayao yatra sriyapatihi
by the path in the sky, or the airways, Vipraha, the Brahmana Ajamiya, Mahapurusha Kinkarai, with the order carriers of Lord Vishnu. Haimam,
made of gold.
Vimanam,
an airplane.
Aruhya, boarding. Yayao,
Yayao
went.
Yatra,
where? Shriya Patihi,
Shriya Patihi,
Lord Vishnu,
Lord Vishnu,
the husband of the goddess of fortune. Translation. Accompanied by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Ajamya boarded an airplane made of gold. Passing through the airways, he went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Srila Prabhupada's purport. For many years, material scientists have tried to go to the moon, but they are still unable to go there. However, the spiritual airplanes from the spiritual planets can take one back home, back to Godhead, in a second. The speed of such a spiritual plane can only be imagined. Spirit is finer. Spirit is finer than the mind. And everyone has experience of how swiftly the mind travels from one place to another. Therefore, one can imagine the swiftness of the spiritual form by comparing it to the speed of the mind. In less than even a moment, a perfect devotee can return home back to Godhead immediately after giving up his material body. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Samati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gaura Vari Pacharana Nivishesha Sunya Vari Pachacha Desa Charane Om Gyanam Timuranda Shyogaranjana Shulakaya Chaksuru Miritam Jainam Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bheva Chapatitanam Pamani Vaisha Vedyo Namo Namaha. So these the Vishnu Dutas came, there's four of them. It's stated from the commentaries that four Vishnu Dutas came because the word Narayana had four syllables, so one for each syllable. that's why they were four. So again, they reappear. He's given up his material body and attained his spiritual form. So now, after that, in that spiritual form, he boards Arushya, he gets aboard this Vimana. Prabhupada always calls them airplanes, you could call them spaceships, since they travel everywhere. But we see these Vimanas many, many times. They're discussed in the scriptures, these airplanes. Prabhupada says there's different ways of being flying through the air. One of them is this kind of an airplane. In Dallas, Texas, somehow or other, the conversation. Well, he was at the airport. He was received a reception at the airport. There was some hostile reporter there who was asking provocative questions. And Prabhupada's tendency when dealing with reporters was to have fun with him. He would actually try to outrage reporters. So anyway, he was somehow or other during this press conference at the airport, the conversation turned to air travel, and Prabhupada mentioned that in the Vedas there's three different ways of being traveling by air. These are also mentioned in a purport. He mentions these in a purport in Bhagavatam somewhere. So he says, one way is by airplane. He means these Vimanas, vehicles that go through the air. But he said the different kind of propulsion system, not these same kind of engines that we have. And then he mentioned being carried aloft by a great number of pigeons. I don't know where this happened, but apparently you can harness pigeons. And then the third he mentioned was sitting on a rug.
On a
rug? Yeah, carpet. traveling by mantra. You can say mantra and then it picks up and goes. So this is all familiar to everybody in America, because children read these Persian tales, Arabian Nights and stuff like that. We read these are mentions. So everybody's heard of this. So this reporter said to Prabhupada, "Can you do that?" And Prabhupada, typically, first his eyes would get big. When he would do something like this, his eyes would get big and he'd say, "Yes." Then she said, "So why have you come by TWA or whatever it was?" And Prabhupada said, "To be one among you." That's the kind of thing he used to do. So anyway, the Vimanas are there. This is a golden airplane. And just Prabhupada, well, first of all, of course, he says, as he always maintained, that they never went to the moon. The simple reason is that we have descriptions of the moon from Shastra. It's a heavenly planet, and you know what goes on there. And the place that they describe, the astronauts or whatever, and bring back supposedly pictures of, doesn't look anything like the moon. It looks like a desert or something like that. And and it's true, this is probably, they're still unable to go there. Then they said they went there. I don't know if this is written before. I think this is written after the Apollo moon trip. But then they stopped the whole program and they never went back. So Prabhupada said, if they went there, why didn't they go back? So still, it's an interesting thing. I mean, there's a lot of people, not devotees, who are very suspicious about this. When you're at least outside of America, there's books in England and videos all about all the discrepancies, especially the photographs they bring back. You see where the moon lander is sitting in on the dust, and you can see the footprints where the supposedly astronauts were, and yet underneath the moon lander, which was balanced on the exhaust, the sand is completely undisturbed. There's all kinds of different things in the way the shadows go and everything like that. These photographs. So. But there is something suspicious about it, that's for sure. And now they're saying that we will go back to the moon. But we'll see. It's a funny thing. Prabhupada gave different he knew they didn't go. How they didn't go, well, that he gave different accounts sometimes. One was that it was just a conspiracy. The whole thing was he said, I once saw a movie show, a cinema, of a giant monkey climbing a skyscraper. And sometime must have seen King Kong, the original one. Yeah, when he was a householder, sometimes he'd take his children to see the movies. He described the whole plot once of a Charlie Chaplin movie. And so he said he saw this film of a giant monkey climbing a skyscraper. This is King Kong. Has to be the Empire State Building with the airplanes, biplanes trying to shoot it down and everything. And meaning it was special effects. They're going to the moonshot. You know, you can fake so many things in the studio. So that was one explanation. Another explanation, he says, that they landed on Rahu. Rahu, the invisible planet. So they're Rahu and Ketu, very close to the moon. You can't see them, and they're hellish planets. And so that they went to Rahu, they landed instead on Rahu. Then the third explanation he gave was that they went there, but they could not enter the atmosphere of the moon. In one sense they were there, but in another sense not, because they were in those spacesuits. They could not. So they only saw something that they couldn't really see, the inhabitants and everything that was going on there.
It was just
they could only see certain gross aspects of the moon. An example is sometimes from Haiti or people try to come to United States, refugees or they get some boat or raft or made of milk cartons, floating with milk cartons, and try to come across the Caribbean to Florida. So at one time, a lot of people were coming. So they got to the coast of Florida, and then the government agents just would round them up and put them in a camp. And keep them in the camp, which was not a nice place at all. And then take them back to Haiti. So did they ever come to the United States? Well, not really. One sense they were in Florida, but another sense they never saw Miami. Because they weren't qualified to go there. Because the other thing is, to go to the moon or the heavenly planets, one has to be qualified by piety. And so these astronauts are certainly not qualified to go there. So something like that may have happened because they went without permission. So we'll see, but he was quite convinced they didn't. As he is here, they're unable to go there, he says. This was written after the first Apollo missions.
It has to be the Apollo.
Yeah, because that happened, 72 or something like that? No, even, I saw that, 70 or something.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is written after that. Yeah. So, he said they had tried to go, and he was unsuccessful. So, that's one thing, but here, there are these Vimanas that are flying through the spaceways, the high up. They also go up the Devayana. Many times we see the Devatas in their Vimanas, just Vimanas in the spiritual world. The sky is crowded with them, and Vaikuntha are there. And when Brahma comes down, to speak, he's on his swan and an accomplished carrier, but accompanied by so many devotees, all of their Vimanas, all traveling with him, like a large crowd formation. These are spiritual, not of the devotees, but these are, although they're haimam, they're golden. These are spiritual. It's already like an extension of the spiritual world. And so they take him back. I wanted to read here in the Bhagavatam. Another case of airplane coming for somebody is Vitruva Maharaj. A little different. First of all, it's an interesting contrast because Dhruva Maharaj was not a fallen person like Ajahnya. He was quite extraordinary. But there's the other place where it's described that Vimana came to take him up. But it's a little different. So again, Just like Ajamyo, when he knew the end was coming, or he had a little time left, he went to Hardwar, and very renounced, he performed austerities and made further advancement. And so at the time of death, he was ready to go back to Vaikuntha. So So it says here, I'm reading from the fourth canto, 12th chapter. We're starting at the 16th verse. Thus Dhruva Maharaj at the end left his kingdom, which extended all over the earth and was bound by great oceans. So quite a difference between him and Ajahila, obviously, in worldly terms. He considered his body, his wives, his children, his friends, his army, his rich treasury, his very comfortable palaces, and his many enjoyable pleasure grounds to be creations of the illusory energy. Thus, in due course of time, he retired to the forest in the Himalayas known as Bhadrikashram. So that's where he went, Bhadrikashram. In Bhadrikashram, Dhruva Maharaj's senses became completely purified because he bathed regularly in the crystal clear purified waters. He fixed a sitting position by yogic practice, controlled the breathing process and the airs of life. And in this way, his senses were completely withdrawn. Then he concentrated his mind on the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord, which is the exact replica of the Lord, and thus meditating upon him, he entered into complete trance. So again, he's same as Ajahnya. He's in a temple, and he is meditating on the form of the Lord. That's present in the temple. And this form is described Bhagavat Pratirupa, the exact image of the Lord. Because of his transcendental bliss, incessant tears flowed from his eyes, his heart melted, and there was shivering and standing of the hairs all over his body. Thus transformed in a trance of devotional service, Dhruva Maharaj completely forgot his bodily existence, and thus he immediately became liberated from material bondage. It says in the text that he was freed from mukta, he was mukta linga, liberated from linga. When the Prabhupada says that linga means the subtle body. And so, and then Prabhupada says, when a man dies, he quits his gross body, but the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego carries him to a new body. While existing in the present body, the same subtle body carries him from one stage of life to another, childhood to boyhood. By mental development, the mental condition of a baby is different from that of a boy, the mental condition of a boy different from that of a young man, and so on. So at death, the process of changing bodies takes place due to the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, and ego, carry the soul from one gross body to another. This is called transmigration of the soul. But there's another stage where one becomes liberated even from the subtle mind. At that time, the living entity is competent and fully prepared to be transferred to the transcendental or spiritual world. So this liberation really means liberation from the subtle body. Kapila Dev says that devotional service dissolves the subtle body of the living entity. That is to say, the material ego, the material intelligence, the material mind.
So he goes straight to transcendental body.
Huh?
So he goes straight to transcendental body?
Yeah, Dhruva is different here. We'll see what happens. So, as soon as the symptoms of his liberation were manifest, those ecstatic symptoms appeared on his body. So, he saw a very beautiful airplane, a vimana. He saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the sky as if the brilliant full moon were coming down, illuminating all the 10 directions. So because Dhruva Maharaj was liberated, he could see this spaceship coming down like a full moon landing. Dhruva Maharaj saw two very beautiful associates of the Lord Vishnu in that in the plain. They had four hands and a blackish bodily luster, and they were very youthful, and their eyes were just like reddish lotus flowers. They held clubs in their hands, and they were dressed in very attractive garments with helmets and were decorated with necklaces, bracelets, and earrings. So these are obviously, they have the same bodily symptoms. This is one kind of liberation of the same bodily features as the Lord. So,
Lord Vishnu,
same fish, yeah, here they are coming from Vaikuntha Loka. So they have these it says some, a little later on that they're actually Nanda and Sunanda. So they're actually not just very close associates of Lord Vishnu, that person that came for Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that these uncommon personalities were direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately stood up. But being puzzled in hastiness, he forgot how to receive them in the proper way. Therefore, he simply offered obeisances with folded hands, as Anjali, and chanted and glorified the holy name of the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was always absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. His heart was full with Krishna when the two confidential servants of the Supreme Lord, who were named, okay, their names are there, Nanda and Sunanda, approached him, smiling happily. Dhruva stood with folded hands, bowing humbly. They then addressed him as follows. So then it says, Sunanda Nanda Dao Uvacha, they said. Nanda and Sunanda, the two confidential servants of the Lord Vishnu, said, Dear King, let there be all good fortune unto you, Bhogo Rajan Subhadram Te. It's easier to say in Sanskrit. Please hear attentively what we shall say. When you were only 5 years old, you underwent severe austerities and thereby greatly satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parshada is the Sanskrit word, the creator of the whole universe, who carries in his hand the bow named Sharanga. We have been specifically deputed to take you to the spiritual world, to achieve Vishnu Loka. It's very difficult, but by your austerity, you have conquered. Even the great rishis and demigods cannot achieve this position. Simply to see the supreme abode, the Vishnu planet, the sun and the moon and all the other planets, stars, lunar mansions and solar systems are circumambulating it. Now please come, you are welcome to go there. That's very interesting, the whole heavens spin around. 24 hours they go around the pole star. So they're circumambulating Vishnu Loka. Why? Because they want to see it. So they go around. Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet. The planet known as Vishnu Loka, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally. O immortal one, this unique airplane, Pravaram means the topmost, the highest, greatest. This unique airplane has been sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose worship was selected prayers, and who's the chief of all living entities. You are quite worthy to board such a plane. Oh yeah, here's where Prabhupada talks about the airplanes. the Kapota Vayu Kapota means pigeon. So he mentioned these material plays. The Akasha Patana, this Akasha Patana system is also material. Just as the mind can fly anywhere one likes without mechanical arrangement, so the Akasha Patana airplane can fly at the speed of mind. Beyond this Akasha Patana system is the Vaikuntha process, which is completely spiritual. The airplane sent by Lord Vishnu to carry Dhruva Maharaj to Shishumara. Here, the Shishumara is another name for the pole star, because that is part of this Shishumara chakra up there. It's like a constellation. Shishumara means a dolphin. And so this is described in the fifth canto, of the different planets make up the different forms. Was a completely spiritual, transcendental airplane. So this is beyond even these kinds of airplanes that are described. The great sage Maitreya continued, Maharaj Dhruva was very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he heard the sweet speeches of the Lord's chief associates in the Vaikuntha planet. He immediately took his sacred bath, dressed himself with suitable garments, and performed his daily spiritual duties. Thereafter, he offered his respectful obeisance to great sages present there and accepted their blessings. Before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the airplane, circumambulated it, and offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. So his body changed. It's a little different. He doesn't leave his body, but actually his body changed. He was thus completely prepared to board the transcendental airplane. So Prabhupada says that Dhruva Maharaj knew that the paraphernalia, the associates, everything in relationship to the Lord is as good as the Lord's. So therefore, circumambulated the airplane and the associates. So he knew this, and he offered respect to the associates and to the plane before riding in it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence. And therefore, it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he also became one with the other paraphernalia of Vishnu Loka. So this is interesting position with him. So therefore, his body changed, and then he could board that plane. But nothing material could come there. So his body was transformed. When Dhruva Maharaj was attempting to get on the transcendental plane, he saw death personified approach him. Mrityu came, or Antikam, two names. Not caring for death, however, he took advantage of the opportunity to put his feet on the head of death. And thus he got up on the airplane, which was as big as a house, says a Grita, like a Grita. Prabhupada has an interesting purport. He says to take the passing away of a devotee and the passing away of an undevotee as one and the same is completely misleading. While ascending the transcendental airplane, Dhruva Maharaj suddenly saw death personified before him, but he was not afraid. Instead of death's giving him trouble, Dhruva Maharaj took advantage of death's presence and put his feet on the head of death. And then Prabhupada gives this example. I'll just read it. About the difference between the death between the devotee and the undevotee, he says, in this connection, an example can be given. A cat catches a kitten in its mouth, and it also catches a rat in its mouth. As superficially, the catching of a rat in the kitchen appears to be one and the same, but actually they are not. In both cases, the animal is dangling from the sharp teeth of the cat, the kitten and the rat. When the cat catches the rat in its mouth, it means death for the rat. Whereas when the cat catches the kitten, the kitten enjoys it. So the same biting of the sharp teeth of the cat, the rat experiences, this is death, but the kitten, this is my mother's love. So the experience is the same. When Dhruva Maharaj boarded the airplane, he took advantage of the arrival of death personified, which came to offer him obeisances. Putting his feet on the head of death, so death actually is often done to us. To him. That's why his head is down there. So then he just steps on it. He got on the unique airplane, which is described here as big as a house. Then Prabhupada mentions, of course, the airplane created by Kardama Muni for Devahuti was like a flying palace, practically. Very big, like cities. At that time, now when he got aboard the Vimana, drums and kettle drums resounded from the sky. The chief Gandharvas began to sing, and the other demigods showered flowers like torrents of rain upon Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva was seated in the transcendental airplane, which was just about to start, when he remembered about his poor mother, Suniti. Remember, she's the one who first suggested he go to the forest. Look, you want to be a kingdom like your grandfather's, bigger than your father, you have to go to the forest and seek out Lord Vishnu. So he always regarded her as his guru. She gave him this instruction. So he remembered his poor mother, Suniti. He thought to himself, how shall I go alone to the Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother? So Prabhupada says Suniti was his Patta Pradarshaka Guru, the guru or the spiritual master who shows the way. Maybe not Diksha, but at least one who says. So sometimes in our Krishna consciousness, maybe somebody in the very beginning may lead us to Krishna consciousness, and even they may give up devotional service, but we always feel some obligation toward these people because they helped us and showed us devotional service. So even though she was not his Diksha guru or even his Shiksha guru, still he felt this obligation to her. So his desire for care for his mother immediately, this was, you'll see. The great associates of Vaikuntha Loka, London Sunanda, could understand the mind of Dhruva Maharaj, and thus they showed him that his mother Suniti was going forward in another plane. there was a second one. Then Prabhupada says here, he has a very fine purport here, he says, this incident proves that the Shiksha or Diksha guru who has a disciple who strongly executes devotional service like Dhruva Maharaj can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced. Although Suniti was an instructor to Dhruva Maharaj, she could not go to the forest because she was a woman, nor could she execute austerities and penances as Dhruva Maharaj did. Still, Dhruva Maharaj was able to take his mother with him. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj also delivered his atheistic father, Hiranyakashipu, The conclusion is that a disciple or an offspring who's a very strong devotee can carry with him to Vaikuntha Loka either his father, mother, or Shiksha or Diksha, Guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission, propagating Krishna consciousness, to be successful. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world, and sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. Prabhupada says. So it continues. When Dhruva Maharaj was passing through space, he gradually saw all the planets of the solar system, and on the path he saw all the demigods and their airplanes showering flowers upon him like rain. So this was a big event. Everybody wanted to see this transit of Dhruva as he goes up to take his place. And Prabhupada mentioned, it should be noted also that while Suniti was going to Vaikuntha Loka, she also changed her body into spiritual form. Like Sri Suniti, every mother should train her child to become a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj. Suniti instructed her son, even at the age of 5, to be unattached to worldly affairs and to go to the forest to search out the Lord. And so here, she didn't want him just to, you know, stay at home and have a material career and so on. So because of that instruction, she herself was also saved. Dhruva Maharaj thus surpassed the 7 planetary systems of the great sages who are known as the Saptarshis. Beyond that region, he achieved the transcendental situation of permanent life in the planet where Lord Vishnu lives. So that he finally came to the localized planet of Lord Vishnu in the universe. So this is how this is how another case where an airplane came and got through them. A little different, but even someone like Ajamil, the same 4 that came to him in the beginning, they reappeared with this, and then took him to the spiritual world, and a very quick passage out of the material world. Any questions, comments?
Mm-hmm. Why is Dhruva given a boon to go to his own planet, not Vishnu Lok, but Dhruva Lok or Dhruva planet?
I've never heard why in particular one had that. He had a material desire originally. Originally he is a Sakama devotee. He wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather. And so he was given this planet to rule over, where he. So when he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, immediately he realized he was foolish in asking for anything. But still, first of all, he was given a kingdom on earth that was very vast, and then, after liberation, he was also given another planet. Wonderful planet that everybody else circumambulates, because Vishnu is also there. That the pole star means everybody goes around. That where Dhruva fixed, the pole star doesn't move, but everything else moves. So this was just because of his particular nature and his particular desire. So, it is said that from this we learn that Krishna fulfills the desires of the devotees better than we could ever imagine. Krishna purifies our desires and then satisfies them. So there's this fulfillment comes that you can't imagine on a material platform. So this had to do with just the particular nature of Dhruva Maharaj. So this way he was given this the association of the Lord, and also he could continue ruling over a big kingdom.
Dhruva Maharaj also sees Krishna in a particular form. Doesn't he see Krishna, Maharaj?
It's Krishna Garba. Yeah. It's a four-handed Vishnu form from Krishna Garba. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's what he said. Yeah.
You said the body of Dhruva Maharaj changed from material form to spiritual form.
Uh-huh.
Now the question is whether we human beings can do that and how to do that. Of course, we know it's through devotion.
Yeah, well, this isn't an unusual situation. I mean, Krishna can do everything. So he can change. He can change. Yeah. Prabhupada has said that when one becomes a pure devotee, that is, fully engaged in Krishna service, and our progress in Krishna consciousness, we are aiming toward 100% engagement in Krishna service. That is, all our senses, all our mind, everything is simply absorbed in Krishna service, nothing else. Such persons, they live in the world, they don't know how they're existing, and actually, as far as practical necessities, Krishna takes care of it for them, so they can simply be absorbed in Krishna's service. So it's possible. With that first 100% engagement, Prabhupada describes somewhere the whole body becomes surcharged with spiritual energy and becomes a spiritualized material body. So usually in this case, it's as good as a spiritual body, even though it's a material body. And the usual method is, you know, we give that up, and because at the same time, because of devotional service, our spiritual form becomes manifest. We have an original spiritual form, a siddhadeha. Ramanuja, Acharya, describes that when the soul takes a material body, the soul becomes compacted. In other words, the spiritual form and senses are not manifest. All the senses and form is manifest materially. But really, when a devotee becomes advanced, that devotee actually is in two places at once. One with the siddhadeha serving Krishna here in the material world, with the sadhakadeha serving Krishna here in the material world, and a siddhadeha at the same time in the spiritual world. That's in the spiritual body. Both of those are there. So that spiritual body simply continues. Because Prabhupada says that the Lord, the spiritual world in the heart of a pure devotee of Krishna, the spiritual world is manifest in his heart. Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan are going on in his heart, like a kind of television broadcast in his heart. But the devotee, we think a little more about it, he's not just a passive observer, he's an active participant in this reality show, actual reality. So a devotee kind of has two things. Now Dhruva, this is exceptional because Dhruva was going to a special place, and so he stayed in his form as Dhruva, but it was a spiritual form for this particular purpose. But although the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, this is talked about in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami, also they traditionally have four-handed forms like the Lord. They also can change their forms, and they also take all kinds of other forms, even of animals and plants and insects and everything in the spiritual world for the service of the Lord. So they can change forms too, as according to their desire for service. That's also there. So this is unusual, but it can happen. The Prabhupada ki jai.